We're here with Bruce Brumberg, editor-in-chief of myNQDC.com, to talk about non-qualified deferred comp and taxes.
Well, you mentioned, I think you called them pesky Section 409A.
Section 409A, you got to know those rules. If you're a participant in the plan, if you're a financial advisor to the plan, of course, if you're a lawyer or a minister for the plan, you live and breathe 409A. It's a section of the Internal Revenue Code. It has become the source of almost all the restrictions and limits in non-qualified deferred compensation plans. It was adopted because of the perceived abuses in these type of plans that were highlighted by the executives at Enron who took out a lot of money from the plans before the company went bankrupt. It's become much broader than it was originally perhaps intended. So basically, any amount that was deferred invested after January 1, 2005, to avoid problems, you know, you have to follow the 409A rules.
And so what are the penalties if my particular NQDC plan doesn't follow 409A, it violates 409A?
Yeah, the tax treatment definitely changes, and there are penalties that you have to pay as the individual, although you maybe could look back to the company for it. And when the plan doesn't comply, whether in form or in operation or in the documents, all the amounts that you deferred under the plan are immediately included in your income, unless for some reason they were included earlier. And as an extra penalty, you have an additional tax of 20% that applies to this income, and you owe interest at the IRS underpayment rate plus 1%, and then some states also have similar tax provisions. So you really get hit hard if your plan doesn't follow the 409A rules.
Wow. So the moral of the story is make sure your plan follows 409A.
Yeah, and it's really up to the company, and you know, companies have been really diligent in making sure their plans apply, and some companies have even said it's not worth all the effort, we're not going to continue with the plans. What's the good thing about the 409A rules is it took a lot of general tax principles, took a lot of the folklore around these plans, and it really turned them into set rules that companies need to follow, and if they do follow them, then the plans will be fine.
So you mentioned before about outside consultants and directors and that sort of thing. Are the tax rules the same for them, and is the income at deferral and distribution reported on, what's it reported on, basically?
Well, it's different with in some ways. I mean, the tax rules are the same. You're deferring income, so it's not part of your ordinary income today, and then when you get it in the future, it is part of your ordinary income then. You know, if you're just a standard consultant, you are going to owe Social Security and Medicare at the time of deferral. If you're a director, there's these rules that allow you to actually defer. We're talking about an outside director, allow you to defer even the Social Security and Medicare part until you get the distribution. And, you know, everything's going to be reported on a 1099 miscellaneous. But the general tax principles are the same. The reporting can be different.
What about state taxes? How do they apply here?
Well, they're important because they're the same as whatever the federal taxes would be if your state has a state tax. So, you know, I think all states follow this concept of we allow deferral of income. You know, there were a few states at one point that said, you know, we don't even accept this concept of deferral of income, you're taxed right away. I mean, the issue is often that you live in one state at the time in which you worked and you deferred the income, and then later on you move to a low tax state, you know, Texas, Florida, New Hampshire, and there's no income tax. And so if it works out and the plan is structured right, then the state you now live in at retirement, this lower tax state, their rules will apply, not the higher tax state where you had worked in.
So when I'm retired, and let's say I'm retired, I've moved to Florida, I'm getting my non-qualified deferred comp distributions, can that cause my Social Security benefits to be taxed?
Well, you know, it's good thinking, you know, because, you know, one of the reasons we actually started up, you know, myNQDC.com was to help people understand how these plans fit into your overall financial planning, retirement planning, and how they sort of work together, and actually how even NQDC could help you wait to take your Social Security benefits later when you may be able to get a larger payment. But let's say you are getting distributions now under your plan. It can have that effect, but, you know, any income can have that effect. You know, if you have substantial earned income after you begin taking Social Security payments or income from other sources such as investments, you know, you're probably going to have to pay income tax on most of those Social Security benefits. I mean, that's a surprise for a lot of people.
Okay, Bruce, thanks a lot for talking with us about non-qualified deferred comp and the tax issues that can arise. For more information about this and many other subjects related to non-qualified deferred comp, visit myNQDC.com.